Get the latest on video game news and reviews on Pixel Nation, along with the latest news in the world of politics, all on Red State Blue State upcoming Sunday. Next week also, as we wind down Series 2 of Down the Tubes, we'll take a look at a certain chef who yells at people and calls them donkeys. Join myself, Jim, and Tom for Down the Tubes. They'll be on Wednesday. Also next week, our friends at Fan Junkies Radio will be celebrating their 100th episode. They'll be coming down your way Friday. However, coming up next, Nikki Heyman and crew will talk about who's acting like a doofus again in the world of wrestling on the North America Wrestling Connection presented by WrestleChad.net. And as always, there is graphic language in this podcast.
For over 5 years, with over 250 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned by...
King, have you tried out the new Domino's handmade pan pizza? Because they do it the right way.
Yes, I absolutely love it.
You know, if you go to Domino's.com, you can actually track your pizza once you place your order.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what a coincidence that is, because I just placed an order for Domino's
pizza. You did not order Domino's.
No, I did.
Okay, let's track. Let's see where King's pizza is. Right now, the handmade pan pizza tracker.
It's being cooked right now, right?
Yeah, and it has this slower bake process because it uses this fresh, never frozen dough, which is hand-pressed right into the pan.
So what time is it going to be here?
Well, it's slow baked, so probably another 20 or 30 minutes the pizza's going to arrive.
I'm wondering about my pizza.
I know, you ordered this pizza. Well, let's find out where it is at Domino's.com, the handmade pan pizza tracker. Let's see where Jerry the King Lawler's pizza is. It's blinking. The red light's blinking.
It says
number 5.
Been delivered?
It means it's been delivered to the Nationwide Arena here in Columbus.
Where's my pizza?
I have no idea. Whoa, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
I thought you ordered the pizza for us.
Guys, that's my pizza.
But you know, the handmade pizza is made with fresh, never frozen dough, which is hand-pressed into the pan. And each handmade pan pizza has 2 layers of cheese. It tolerates all the way to the edge.
JBL, go clothesline that guy. Eat our pizza.
The soldiers are fine. The rest of them, I'm clotheslining their heads off.
Domino's, oh, yes, we did.
You got to be kidding me. They stole our pizza.
Save me a slice.
And I love Domino's.
Jerry, stupid Lawler.
And this is why we have vending machines in the studios, because the last thing I need is having to chase down a pizza. But it's well past dinner hour here at the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I have a handful of the usual suspects around the table. First, our living, breathing laugh track, Tom Delgado.
By the way, if you watched, listen to the Big BS Big Show last night, or whenever it comes up, I don't know when it's going to come up in your area, you'll know that I've put out an all-points bulletin for my cardboard box. Please bring it back. And if you don't, God help you!
And we have our resident wrestling fan of Louisville, Tyler Brown.
Hey, yo. You know, I just wanted to say that, guys, for the memories, I found a recording of the first time I ever had Nikki Heyman on any show on this network, which was on my show. And let me tell you, it brings back a lot of good memories. But definite props to not only to Nikki for being a part of this empire, but to Carl, who I don't believe gets enough love from us here at the network.
We try, but these...
Can dot wave.
That was the can dot wave. And I believe that can was probably dropped all the way up in the Big Apple. Is that you, Jason?
Yeah, that was me. Because okay, I got 2 questions for you.
Sure.
Number one, how does Jerry Lawler get yet another fast food ad after his heart attack? Okay. And number 2, that ain't pizza. That is not pizza.
Oh,
that
here
is.
We go.
No, oh, wait, wait.
Oh,
wait,
here
wait.
Comes the shit.
No, 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 no. Please talk about New York pizza. Like, I love
20 minutes.
No, I'm not gonna take 20 minutes. I'm just gonna say that ain't pizza.
No, it ain't. Because by coincidence, I had ordered pizza for dinner Monday night, and it definitely was not Domino's. Nice local place up here around the corner. I get on the phone. Hey, Phil, the usual. When do you need it? I need it by 7:15. You got it. $6 later, I'm in front of my TV with a pizza.
Six. Wow. Okay.
So, with that, since we have opened with some Dufosity, we have discovered that the fans have been so doofus that we have forgotten how doofus the wrestlers can be. Hey, Tom, have you met my friend Mark? Mm. The one with the motorcycle?
Oh, yeah. He's pretty cool. He's a real cool guy.
Why didn't he beat up the kid with the bicycle? I really wanted to see that.
I don't know. I'm a little disappointed, to be honest.
Please.
Just the fact that...
Mark...
What's that?
Damn it, Mark, you're supposed to be American badass.
No, just the fact that the main... Once again, he did not have to say a word to get his point across. He essentially had done an ad for a church in his area for this big bike rally. So he was introduced as Mark... And we have here the American as the American badass, and next to him another guy named Mark, who is a trail biker, rides a regular bicycle. Well, the fact that he did not choke slam this other Mark, although he came pretty close when the topic of fondue came up.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Exactly.
But he wasn't mic'd, and it was just hilarious. Who says the dead man can't be funny?
I've always thought Undertaker was a funny guy when he wants to be, when it calls for it. So I've always pretty much known.
Well, I mean, I know he has a sense of humor. The fact that the man has chokeslammed a midget. The No Mercy 02 intro with him sitting there looking at his broken arm and Kane walking in. So, how was your week?
Well, I mean, what I also liked is the fact that there was a great line when he's like, he is seven. He had seven... You know,
world championships.
You know, the seven world championships he mouths seven
times.
you know. Now, I have a question. Do you think he cleared that with Vince, or is he just like, Vince is like, I don't care?
Do you really think Vince is going to say no to The Undertaker after 20 plus years for working for him?
Well, no. I'm just wondering because. That is one of the rarest appearances of the American Badass, okay? Or if it's just maybe Mark being Mark, you know, that's his third persona, Mark Calloway.
Yeah, the fact that Mark Calloway does exist.
Yeah, and Mark Calloway is a doofus. I mean, seriously.
It is, but in character, he's still pseudo in character as the American Badass, which he had a lot of humorous moments, such as beating up a random tag team that busted into his locker room, yells next time knock. Say what if you sleep with your sister? Shut up a crowd that was whatting him.
Right. The thing is that Vince has been just so protective of the Undertaker mistake. And I have...
Vince, have you met my friend Mark?
Yeah. Yeah, Mark has also been protective of the whole, you know, Undertaker persona. Mm-hmm. Okay? But still, just for him to break that out because either he's probably a good... good friend, you know, a good friend or fan of the church or whatever, you know.
And he's a bit of a family man. Tyler, think of something else doofus that the dead man's done. Did I take all the good ones?
Yeah, I would almost say his encounter with Maven, but that was just my sick sense of humor on that one.
Now I got one for you. Remember when he beat up David Flair in the bathroom? And he's like, and David Flair goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "I'm kicking your ass, boy. That's what I'm doing," you know.
There's that. There's, like I said, chokeslamming the midget. How was your week? Say, what if you slept with your sister? It just impressed me, the fact that he was being a doofus. Because, like Jason said, he's very protective of his character. He's very protective of his own persona. The fact that The Undertaker does not have a Twitter account, his Facebook page is a generic page, which apparently a lot of the WWE superstars' Facebook pages are. If you subscribe to more than one of them, you will get the same message from 5 different pages. Just warning you. The fact that he is not swept up in the social media revolution by any means, short of that one post earlier this year to let everybody know that he was showing up on Raw to see who wanted to break the streak. And it wasn't breaking news. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't the usual cheesiness you get from that text thing. All it said was, "I have risen."
Chills. Thank you.
Seriously, Tom, it gave me chills to get a text like that.
It was. I mean, I didn't get the text because I don't subscribe to the service, but to get a text like that, that's some heavy stuff right there.
So, you know, unfortunately, I didn't find out about this commercial until shortly our show last week. Let me get my list. The doofus then continued on Monday night, as exemplified by yet another magical intro from our dear friend Jim Stupid Williams, the whole pizza fiasco. But the whole show was, let's see, Ricardo Rodriguez running around in Zubas.
Wow.
Mark Henry in a tug of war. The fact that the announcers were seriously discussing tug of war at the table while this was going on. Discussions of yodeling in regards to Antonio Cesaro. What the hell happened Monday night? Tyler, did you see any of this?
Yeah, I saw quite a bit of it. It was interesting, to say the least. Kind of a little bit of a scattered. Yeah, very scattered.
Does the word jet lag mean anything to you?
I think that's what it was. I think everybody was still loopy from flying back from the European tour. But, you know, as I said, Ricardo Rodriguez running around the ring in Zubas had already made my night. I probably didn't even have to watch any more of the show.
And he did it on SmackDown too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, and he even had a different pair. Which means he owns more than one pair of Zubas, which means that that just makes him infinitely cooler.
20%. Oh, Lord. Ricardo Rodriguez has won everything.
Yes. He wins the internets for bravely stepping in front of a camera in Zubas in 2013.
Well, remember, he has stepped in front of the camera in his skivvies, so Zubas are a step up.
That's true. And apparently they are his lucky Zubas, as he won his match to get the proper stipulation for Mr. Del Rio.
Hmm.
So, Extreme Rules the World Heavyweight Championship as held right now by Zigglypuff. I mean, Dolph Ziggler.
Wow.
That's AJ's nickname, not mine.
No, and by the way, just one thing. Amy Schumer, I'm a fan of yours. You know, I'm a real big fan. But you don't really need to talk about Dolph Ziggler in that way. Okay? Seriously.
Well, just the fact that, okay, so if Ziggler's a Pokemon and Biggie's a Brony and AJ's just crazy, these guys were made for each other.
Bingo.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, you didn't know? Didn't you know that Biggie was a Brony?
I know. I still can't get over that.
He actually tweeted again about it.
Oh, why?
Oh, did he?
Recently. He says, you just keep going on at My Little Pony.
Oh, jeez.
So, I demand Brony Langston signs at future Raws and SmackDowns.
Oh, jeez.
I can't do it. I don't have anything televised coming my way, at least till next February. Some of the other doofosity, as I said, the tug of war was already pretty doofus because it was Mark Henry. Mark Henry dealing with Tensai, dealing with Brodus Clay, and then Sheamus in this goofy tug of war, and even goofier on Friday with the arm wrestling match. Three MB. Just doofus in their own right. Going to the ring and calling out the Shield again. Guys? You're jobbers. Are you really that dumb?
Yes.
Yeah, they were. They were dumb.
That was just... No. Guys, you know better. Especially you, Heath. Slater should know better. Not that I mind Drew McIntyre on my screen. That D'Artagnan beard, really, really, no. Yeah. Let's see. Some of the other silliness, Fandango losing a dance contest, which I will protest.
And dumb.
I call shenanigans.
Actually, I think JBL had the most accurate description of Kali's dancing style. A slee stack with an iPod. If you are old enough to get this reference, damn, you're old.
Yeah, so, okay. Damn, old. Hey.
Damn old. Hey, I got it.
Yep, I'm old.
And we're not talking the Will Ferrell version either, thank you very
no,
much.
No, that is an abomination, and actually, I'm going to do something about that movie right now. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Don't fuck with my childhood, Ferrell.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
What?
You know, that's a soundbite right there. That is a soundbite right there. You know,
take a note of it, Muck Amuck. Anyway, it just cut it off. It don't fuck with my childhood. We've also had some developments in the Ryback Cena nonsense. Now, in previous weeks, I've said that I don't think Ryback is a heel. Tyler, he's graduated.
As far as, what do you mean he's graduated?
I think we're starting to really see it. I think I'm starting to see it now, even if some of what he does is justified.
I don't know. I'm still trying to figure out what exactly is going on with Ryback. I don't know. I think it's going to be hard for them. I don't know. because when he made some statements, you know, as soon as he in a very typical heel fashion, as soon as he said something about disdainful towards the audience, of course they turned on him. But there are still people who like him. And especially when you've got him up against Cena, of course more people are going to like Cena, but then it's going to be a 50-50 because people are tired of Cena, and some people might be bored with Ryback. So, I don't know. I'm still kind of lukewarm about Ryback right now.
I still don't think the turn's a very good idea, but Ryback is really starting to play it up. He did a really good job with this Monday night, walking out on a match and then showing up to watch Cena get killed by the Shield. But the problem is, Tom, that doesn't make him a heel. That doesn't make him a heel in my book. Because I understand. I understand.
Absolutely. I don't think he's a heel in the book yet. He's got to do something heelish and like something really, really heelish to get the fans to give him the heat, the heel heat that he needs, if you would indulge me with the terms.
No, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
And to that, Jason, the question is, was this heel turn even a good idea?
No, it wasn't. I mean, look, according to the reports, Ryback wanted this. Skip Sheffield wanted this heel turn, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, has it made him a better character? Yes. Has it made him a heel? No, because look, who are you putting him against? You're putting him against the number one face that's 50 to 60% of the people, the wrestling fans, dislike. Make-A-Wish, World Wish Day be damned, which we'll get to in a little while. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't make him a heel because you're going after John Cena. You know?
Mm-hmm.
This reminds me, and I think I discussed it I've discussed this with you offline many times. Reminds me of the first Orton face turn. You know what I mean?
This is a bit contrived.
Forced is the better word.
Okay.
It's not, and let's use that word again.
Organic.
Thank you.
No, it's not. It's, you know, the explanation he offered isn't bad.
It's realistic. It's right.
It's realistic, and unfortunately, the problem is you agree with it. And this is something Trista mentioned on a previous show. Sometimes WWE makes their heels too easy to like. And I agree with Ryback, and it just worries me that what we're at right now is that with Cena overselling whatever's going on with his ankle, legit or not, you know, we're probably going to get Lol Cena overcomes the odds again when he and Ryback square off at Extreme Rules. To this I say shrug. Tyler, it's just not making it doesn't interest me.
Yeah, I mean it's I don't know. It's the way that WWE works, it's just they're not thinking things through, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And for to go for so long of having Ryback being the man and Feed Me More, and then all of a sudden, seemingly out of some form of desperation because of, you know, injuries and everything, they go, oh, well, let's pull the kill switch on his face turn and let's turn him heel. And it's like there's no real transition. You know, it's way too forced.
But I'll give him this. We've gotten the opportunity to hear Ryback talk, and he can. We're getting opportunities to see him wrestle because he can. And this might sound like hyperbole, but this is what Goldberg could have been if he actually cared more about the money and more about the business than the money. It's just, you know, I admire his passion, but I really wish there was a better story to put Ryback where he wants to be. and with Cena limping around, Punk on the shelf, and even Undertaker with his extra token appearance. Although I've heard that the Dead Man, you know, has been feeling better, and actually might do a few other dates aside from WrestleMania 30. But that still doesn't help us in the current term. Because, Tom, we don't have a proper heel for Super Cena to face.
We don't, and that's kinda distressing.
And this has been something we've talked about, just the gaping hole in developmental and some of the booking decisions has put a huge rift between the main event and the B card. We got a couple guys in the B card we can elevate.
We just gotta find. It's just a matter of making those talents.
Well, Cesaro doesn't have a belt right now, so we can move him up. Barrett needs to be moved up. I will continue to champion his cause. Let's see. Kingston's trying to be interesting. Miz is MIA. And then that leaves us with all the other nonsense going on at the top. Del Rio, and the fact that, you know, we've got Ryback facing Cena, I should be excited for this. But I'm actually more excited for Ziggler, Del Rio, and Swagger in a ladder match. Even though Swagger has no business still being in the main event picture. Do I grudge much? Yes. In this case, I do, Jason.
Yeah, and you should. Because Ryback Cena should not be interesting if and only if they do the one thing they won't do, which is have Ryback crush Cena like a bug in 5 seconds. Okay? Crush him. I mean, just crush him, crush him, crush him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, squash him like a bug and be the monster heel champion and have the faces chase for a couple of months. Till SummerSlam, where CM Punk comes back and kills him. But no.
And finds a way to beat him. Tyler, what do you think of that?
I don't think a squash match is a very good idea. As far as Ryback goes, it's a real cluster. I'm not a booker. I don't want to pretend to be a booker. And I feel like just let it, you know, let something play out. And don't draw it out too long, but also don't do it in a squash match. Find some sort of happy medium between the two. It's just, you know, that's all I'm going to ask. Just find a happy medium between the two. But the whole few second defeat is a little much. It's been overdone.
Well, Tom, put your road coat on.
Yay. Shiny.
Now, find us that happy medium. We get to Extreme Rules, Ryback versus Cena.
That put me on the spot here. I'm going to take a wild stab at this, and it's... The C-Nation will not like me for this. Well, they wouldn't like me anyway, so what's the point?
There you go.
I would actually just go with an injury angle. Like, the only way it's going to happen is that he's going to have to get injured. Legit. And they can't finish the match. In my opinion. That's the only way I can go about this without making it look like a total farce.
Well, because the happy medium I'm looking for, and while Jason, I kind of agree with you that it would be kind of interesting to see Cena get squashed, I don't want to do that at a pay-per-view because you're gonna piss off a lot of the paying C-Nation.
Right, I understand what you mean. But what I mean by squash in that sense, what I mean is a short match, 10 minutes maybe, Cena gets no offense and just gets crushed. No Super Cena, no nothing.
No, I want a little bit of Super Cena because I want to see him, you know, he's supposedly been on this big comeback trail. And Ryback called him out on this. So here's what should happen. First 5 minutes of this match, Ryback is murdering Cena. Just absolutely murdering him. Cena cannot even get half a swing in. Cena slowly starts working his way back into the match, but he's still hampered by the ankle. We start seeing the Super Cena, but when he does the protobomb before he goes into the "you can't see me," he can't get Ryback up to turn him to do that turn spot. And this is when Ryback lands on his feet and clotheslines him, cleans him out of his shoes. We get a little more back and forth, but Ryback prevails. Cena trying to overcome the odds, but we finally have another round of kryptonite for him. Because yes, I'm ready to see Ryback with the belt as a heel champion and let some faces come up that he can push around until CM Punk comes back. I like that. I'll take that. So, I can only hope.
I got no complaints about that. It sounds like the most logical thing to have happened, to be honest.
Yeah. Which means that will never, ever happen.
Sadly, that means it will not happen because it makes too much sense.
Yep.
When in this world did common sense and logic become such a rare commodity?
I really think Michael Cole has something to say about that, actually.
Has the whole world gone crazy?
Yeah, pretty much. Yes. Yep.
So, you know, I throw my hands up. I'm willing to play wait and see on this, but I am not as excited over this as I think I should be. And I guess that's where my problem is. He's early. Or is he? Let's see what the GM's got in his mind. Is that Stephanie McMahon? Scroll, 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 scroll. Yes, this is Stephanie McMahon, and she looks pretty damn good for having 3 kids.
Yeah.
Well, I've said the same thing about Hunter. Oh, wait. Let's see. Despite the good look, she's probably not going to put herself on television. After all, they do need more content, and they've found a couple of different ways to do that. Not only through Orlando, but in other venues on the internet. Oh yes. And let's see. What was the other part of this? Oh yes, talk financials. I've got our financier here. So I can take a. We can all take a look at that, but I think we need a breather. Gentlemen, the restrooms are open and the vending machines are plugged in. I'm sorry that we do not have pizza here tonight. If we did, it would be pizza. Well, it's pizza that Jason wouldn't touch.
Oh, they're fine.
Dude, I don't remember the name of the place. Otherwise, I could have ordered it in advance, have it brought here and baked and served fresh. Spumoni Gardens, is that the place?
That's the place, yes.
Okay. So, now you know what to get me for SummerSlam. Send me send me a frozen Spumoni pizza.
Done.
Okay, that's been recorded. We're holding him to that. So, keep that in mind, sir, while we play a few other commercials and stop endorsing people that aren't going to sponsor us. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
The odds of this Alaskan-born pitcher being selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game 6 times? 1 in 48 million. The odds of this fast-balling philanthropist winning the World Series 3 times? 1 in 3 million. The odds of this man having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling. Learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Williams Wear is now a part of the CLW 83 Network and is proud to offer official CLW 83 Network merchandise. Go to williamswear.clw83.com. Click the CLW 83 Wear button and browse through an ever-growing, ever-changing selection of items dedicated to your favorite CLW 83 shows and websites. The BS Big Show, the NAWC, Game Show Garbage, and many more. All available at williamswear.clw83.com, the official online store of the CLW 83 Network. Tune in and shop right now.
ALS doesn't just kill you, it shuts you down, little by little, bit by bit.
It starts small. Maybe it's holding a pencil that gets difficult.
Or getting up from your chair.
Then you find it hard to turn the pages of your book.
Because you can't move your fingers.
Your mind keeps working, but your body doesn't respond.
You won't see it coming, because no one knows where it comes from.
Soon you can't hug your mother or pick up your child.
You won't be able to tie your shoes.
You don't need to tie your shoes, because now you can't walk.
You can't eat or shave.
Or laugh or sing.
First you can't catch the ball. Then you can't catch your breath.
ALS doesn't just kill you.
It steals your life, a little bit at a time.
And it doesn't stop until there's nothing left.
Unless we stop it first. Unless we stop it now.
I'm Steve Gleason. Let's put our heads together and find the cure for ALS.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
CLW 83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW 83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW 83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com. The newest way to tune in to the CLW 83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.
And now, back to wrestling news and more silliness on the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on CLWA3.com.
Back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Jason Block, Tom Delgado, and Tyler Brown. Now, as we, you know, we joked earlier about the social media revolution nonsense that goes on when it comes to WWE, and it turns out that their programming had faded away from YouTube earlier this year because it's going to Yahoo.
Yahoo! Yes. WWE Network. Anybody?
I think this is going to be their outlet because the WWE Network is just not working, and the business models they've put out have been so, no offense, fail.
They say they wanted to get together by now 2015. If the conference call is correct. So,
well, they're going to be, you know, Yahoo's going to get them started up this summer, which will be, they will have their own clips and shows. They will also bring over things from the app if you are not one of the 5 million or however many people have it now. I still do not have it because I don't want my phone to explode on me. The facepalm part of this is the fact that they want to do a Raw pre-show. Tom, that's too much on a Monday night for me.
3 hours of live Raw, in most cases, plus a pre-show. No.
Tyler, please remove your hand from your face and let's hear what you got to think of this.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. You know, it's bad enough that they're doing what you see on soap operas. Last week on Raw, Dolph Ziggler got kicked in the crotch. Next week, he's going to...
Wow. That was impressive, Tyler. Very good. You could work for TNA.
Don't curse him like that.
That's horrible. Exactly. That's a step down from Panera.
Yeah, seriously. Exactly. Panera pays better.
Exactly.
And they actually provide health insurance.
Wow. Tom with the burn of the night. Wow.
Oh, hats off. Hats off to both of you guys. That's awesome.
That was beautiful. Nice.
But, it's incredibly ridiculous. You know, this is not, we understand what they're trying to go for, but it's bad enough that WWE's been doing it, that TNA's been doing it. You all are not soap operas. You know, those people who normally watch the show know what's going on. And if not, you all put the full results of every show on, not only just on WWE's website, but TNA also does the same thing for their shows. So why do you need a little 5-minute review and then a 30-minute pre-show? I understand the pre-show for a pay-per-view. Okay, to kind of catch up to speed. Maybe those people who, especially during the Big Four. But, wow. Anyways, I'm sorry. I just read what somebody wrote in the chat. But, it's highly unnecessary. Just unnecessary and too time-consuming as it is.
Well, I mean, I agree with you, but here's the thing. If they, let me play devil's advocate for a minute. If they really sort of get you excited and do something on the pre-show that makes you want to watch the show, that could be interesting. Like, you miss something. That could be interesting. If it becomes, you know, just another way of killing time, then no. What I do like them doing is actually putting on the pay-per-view post-game shows, which I loved. I love those.
Well, one of the things I really like the WWE's been doing, and a major props to this, if anybody's seen the Google Hangouts that they've been doing, that is about one of the best things they have done because it gets the fans closer to the stars without them having to leave their living rooms.
I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt with you, but I think they did one today as we record this, or was it yesterday?
Yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I was going to bring that up. Alicia Fox was that one, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the initial one they did was for WrestleMania, and that was amazing. I mean, it started with a few lesser known, you had Primo and Epico, and it ended with Paul effing Heyman. So it was like, it was funny because one kid was like, are you going, you know, one of the, you know, sort of markish, you know, was like, well, Mr. Heyman, are you going to interfere in any of your clients' matches? And of course, Paul just turns on this being Paul, like, how dare you imply that I would ever interfere in my clients' matches? And just went on, and I just died laughing.
So, yeah, that's, you know, they've got plenty out there. I will advocate these pre-shows if it means less video packages and less recapping on the main show. No offense to the E, I'm not going to spare the time or the bandwidth for it. Unless they've got some, you know, unless they are going to do something absolute blow away into, you know, into that pre-show. You know, I'm finally seeing main event get back to where it needs to be.
I heard this week was pretty good.
Antonio Cesaro with a one-legged giant swing into a half crab. Sold. Antonio Cesaro doing a superplex with Kofi standing on the ring apron. Rated N for insane. Just, you know, if you haven't seen this match, go look. This was fun. This was a lot of fun. I'll watch this before I'll watch what was supposed to be a really good Orton Cody Rhodes match with the telegraphed spectacular finish.
Yeah, okay. Can I comment about that one, please? I'm
gonna give you room.
Okay. Okay, I love Cody Rhodes, and I love those, you know, spectacular, out-of-nowhere RKOs, right?
Mm-hmm.
The best one that I can remember was the seated RKO when Evan Bourne was doing the Airborne. You remember that one?
Yes, okay. That was spectacular. That I cannot take that away from him, and you guys know how much I love Randy Orton.
Okay. So at the end of the match, Cody Rhodes was doing a disaster kick. So he jumps on the ropes, and then instead of putting his foot out, he goes 90 degrees vertical. horizontal to the mat, so Randy could RKO him. His foot was nowhere near his head. Really?
I mean, this is the point where as soon as his foot left the rope, they could have just paused the tape. They just paused the video right there and said, RKO incoming, with great big neon arrows pointing at it.
Oh my god.
I'm pretty sure they did on the SAP broadcast.
Oh my goodness. It's just,
and RKO incoming all.
Yeah, pretty much. Tyler, you saw that, right?
Unfortunately, no.
Count your blessings.
It was a very bad ending to a very good match. You know, seriously.
They couldn't telegraph this any harder. If they tried.
They couldn't telegraph it if Western Union was sponsoring in the match. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. So it was facepalm worthy, which is a shame because getting a good match out of Randy Orton is a tough enough job. Then you're jobbing to him, Cody. I'm sorry. Bah. Let me get some good news up here. We got some numbers. The numbers I'm going to brag about are the pay-per-view buys. Royal Rumble and Elimination Chamber actually, you know, brought home some bacon this time. They both were up from last year. Rumble actually cracked the 500,000 mark, up from 440,000 from 2012, and Elimination Chamber broke the 200K mark this year, compared to roughly 180 from last year. So I already know what the board of directors is thinking. Look, The Rock sells.
I think someone else has something to say about that.
Yeah, he's after all, it takes two to make a good match.
All right, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
We know who put butts in the seats. The whole thing, you know, Cena winning the Rumble is not why 500,000 people bought that pay-per-view. The Rock showing up is not why 200,000 people bought the Elimination Chamber. Because to that, Tyler, we already knew what was going to go on with the WWE title picture in this narrow time frame between Rumble and Mania.
Yeah, a lot of it was sort of expected, so I guess maybe the early anticipation sold the seats, sold the tickets, and sold the pay-per-views?
I don't know. I just, you know, I watch the Rumble because I think it's a great concept, and it's unfortunately a lot more fun watching it on TV than seeing it live. No offense, Jason, really.
You know what? I agree. I do agree because that is actually one of the few wrestling matches that are more made for television than a live event.
Yeah.
You know.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Okay, but Chamber, that's kind of interesting in person.
I need to get to see that next year.
That is my plan. That will be my second Chamber pay-per-view. But I need something to erase the image of Undertaker on fire.
Yeah.
So let's see. Actually, Jason, I'm going to defer to you a little bit when it comes to the first quarter numbers, because you can translate this stuff better than I can. All I saw was numbers.
Okay. Let me try and do this. The first quarter, if you let me just go by region, okay?
Okay.
They actually made about $900,000 more. The big thing was that they made about $5 million more in this quarter in our neck of the woods, North America and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
They lost money all around the world, pretty much in Latin America, the Asia Pacific region, and the European region. They made a lot of money here. They made more money on the live and televised events. The consumer products went down. The digital media went up monetarily, but the WWE studios went down for the first quarter. I don't know when the call was finished.
Mm-hmm.
Say, okay.
Yeah.
Here's very interesting. Pay-per-view revenues increased 12% to $15.1 million.
Well, and we're seeing that. We see that with the, you know, the first two pay-per-views. WrestleMania doesn't count towards the first quarter.
Here's something also very interesting. Television revenues increased 15%. That is due to the licensing of, due to the production licensing of new programs we're talking about. The other, the new Raw Hour, main mm-hmm. event, Saturday Morning Slam,
mm-hmm.
all those revenues, okay? Let's go to consumer products for a minute. Home entertainment revenues were down $2.2 million quarter to quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That was because of a reduction in revenue from international licensing and an adjustment due to the prior period sell-through estimates, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Licensing revenues were unchanged. Here's an interesting thing. Revenue in the quarter reflected the $2.1 million positive impact associated with the bankruptcy of our former video game licensee, THQ.
Mm-hmm.
And the transition to Take-Two Interactive.
Okay.
That was offset by the lower revenue from video games, toys, and other products, and the aggregate decline coming from the international markets. So okay. The international markets, they're losing a little ground in a lot of stuff. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And because of THQ's bankruptcy, they did not collect the portion of anticipated royalties. And that is an estimated economic loss of $3 million from the foregoing video game receipts. Okay?
Okay.
Let's go to digital media. WWE.com, that increased 4.41% due to online advertising and cross-platform sales, including Hulu stuff. Okay?
I'm bullying for them on Hulu, sorry.
I'm sorry. And WWE shops increased 9%, and the average revenue per order was unchanged at about $48 an order.
And that's two t-shirts, so it's not hard to do.
No, it's not. And I'm just trying to think. Their effective tax rate is 37%, which is amazing. So that's basically just going through the numbers. So they had a decent first quarter.
Yeah.
They didn't have anything, you know.
Yeah, they don't have anything they don't have anything too disastrous. And in fact, their reach has spread even further on Facebook. They've actually set up a site on Facebook that lists the WWE job postings and can take you directly to WWE corporate.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
I came across this just the other day. Let me see if I can find it again. And I'll actually give you the details on it. Let's see, where are my likes? Okay. The site is facebook.com/WWE careers.
Let me go there. WWE careers? One yes. word?
Yes. And careers okay. is capitalized.
Whoops. Oh, there we go. Oh, wow. Cool. I'm liking this page. There you go.
So if anybody is looking to try to find their way into the WWE, even if you're not a wrestler, start here. And worst comes to worst, at the very top, there's a condensed, you can use the link at the top of the page, wwe-careers.com, to go to their official list to check posting dates and, you know, locations. I was disappointed, though, that none of the current posted jobs were for anything in Orlando.
Yet,
admitted. So, Tyler, worst comes to worst, you could always look into this.
It'd be the only reason I'd really consider relocating to Stanford. I mean, but that would be just kind of cool. You know, it would be like, if I really wanted to do anything, I would really like to, they have a summer internship. Wow. Okay. Sorry, I just got distracted. But if I want to do anything, I'd like to hang out with Jim Johnston while he creates stuff and just sit down and watch his creative process. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be, to me, that's the more fascinating thing. I mean, yeah, it'd be cool to, you know, hang out with a wrestler, but to see how it all starts, you know. Most of them don't just walk out with no music and no entrance unless they're interrupting or something. You know, the whole creative process going from, okay, well, here's the character and here's what we're looking for, and then the whole going back and forth of, okay, well, this needs a little more heavy metal aspect. No, we're not going to go that route. We're going to go, he's a, you know, maybe a jazz singer or something. That's his character, and whole, but going back and forth up to the point of having created final music and a created Titantron. Just that whole process would be just cool to watch.
There's a lot to it. So, Tom, this could be a leg up for you, too, if you want to take a look at it.
I wouldn't mind working for WWE, but, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I'm not that creative.
Well, they have several creative writer positions, and apparently doesn't take that much.
Oh, I wasn't going to say it.
Lord.
Wow. Tyler, that's two for two, man.
Wow.
Nice.
But, yeah. But you're right. I actually think that they're going to have a lot of positions at the Full Sail, at the Performance Center, the whole nine yards. There's going to be people there.
And they're going to need the people because they are in the process of trying to get NXT back on TV as its own show. In fact, Sci-Fi might even take it back. If I remember correctly, didn't NXT run on Sci-Fi originally?
Yes, it did. It ran on Sci-Fi, and the thing is, what I like about NXT, what they're also doing is, what I like about this is, the rumor is they're going to have an NXT match or so on the live events to introduce the characters to the live audience, which is good.
This is very good. I mean, yes, you're going to get, they still get the TV experience working at the Full Sail facility and at the new facility, the Docks building down there. But that is still nothing like being in front of thousands. It is a completely different animal when you're in front of 100 people to when you're in front of 1,000 people to when you're in front of 10,000 people. And I'll give a perfect example. Anybody remember the Flash in a Pan, Ricky Ortiz?
I do. That was the guy who was the one who stabbed John Cena, correct?
No, you're thinking that's Jesus, and that's a lot further back.
Oh, okay.
No, here in Ortiz worked briefly on WWE CW back in 07 and probably early 08. He had a great build, he had a good look, he had a crazy afro almost as bad as Carlito's. I got to see him work in front of a couple of hundred people when he was in OVW. And everybody loved him. Everybody absolutely loved him. But when we put him in front of 10,000 people, Tom, it didn't translate.
that's just what happens sometimes. Could be the mix of a wrong gimmick or not enough personality or something else. But the big leagues, WWE is much different than down there in the minors.
And that's what I mean. It was something, apparently he did not know how to play to the rafters, which is something that's emphasized even at the independent level, even when you're performing in front of 30 people. A lot of wrestlers will tell you, pretend you're in an arena with 16,000 audiences. Pretend you're in that arena with all those doofuses around you. And make sure that even the guy in row ZZ knows what you're doing. And that is not an easy skill to pick up. So this is what failed Ortiz. He did very well in front of small crowds because he could interact directly with them. But if I'm in the lower level, I can't slap your hand. I can't, you know, you got to show me something.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to, let's put it this way. When it comes to interacting with the locals, he did a good job with that. But when it comes to interacting with the bigger context and the bigger arenas, not going to end well for you.
So the idea that they're putting NXT back on television and hopefully nowhere near the way it was with season 3 when Cole just completely lost his mind during the Divas NXT.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I hope not. I've forgiven Cole after Lawler's heart attack. I do not want a reason to have to mute my television while I'm watching this show. I am proud to say that I got to see Daniel Bryan kick Michael Cole's freaking head in. In person. That felt good.
Very nice.
He's a very nice. Yes.
So, but yeah, I would, you know, yes, I'm goofy enough. I know I'd watch it. And, Tyler, if somewhere between jobs, would you watch it?
Yeah, it just depends on, you know, what time it's on and that sort of thing. It's all it's dependent on.
Oh, hey guys, check this photo out.
Uh-oh. As a picture pops up from Twitter with the doc posing with his beloved wife outside their brand new slightly used airplane.
Because he's going to escort, I believe. Well, he's going to be involved with Floyd Mayweather. See that?
Yeah, I can see that. Are they going to give him a parachute?
I don't know. I don't know if he's Budman or not, but yeah, he likes the fights. He and Stephanie both like the boxing. I know that much. I mean, if you read that article that with all those jacked pictures of Stephanie, Stephanie is a badass boxer. She likes to box.
And, you know, good on her. It gives them something to do, and in a couple of years they'll be able to take the kids. But they apparently picked up the plane for a song. It's cheaper than the one that Hunter and Sean mangled and borrowed from Vince back during the 06 DX reunion. If I recall correctly, Vince, you know, kept bitching that it was a $30 million plane they ruined. So Hunter was like, yeah, but I only spent $27.5 million on this one. Must be nice.
I would just hope that he would have gotten a new Gulfstream 550, but hey, that's me.
And I thought, and here I thought you were only a car geek, Jason.
I am a plane geek too, believe it okay. or not. But no, I mean, I do know about the Lear and all that sort of stuff, but you know, it. You know, I mean, but the high-end planes right now are the Gulfstreams. As a matter of fact, the newest Gulfstream, which is, I believe, the 650, can go pretty much around the world on a tank of fuel.
Nice.
I mean, it's just nutso what you can do. Actually, yeah, there's the it's the one of the things that I love to do every year is buy what is known as the Rob Report, which is a magazine for the ultra rich, just a dream.
Ah, yes.
And one of the things that they do is they it's called the it's the G650, okay?
Okay.
It can take an 8,000-mile range. In other words, it can go from New York to New Delhi and or Los Angeles to Hong Kong. The G650 is about $64 million. The G280 is about a $225 million. So yeah, I'm a plane guy. I would love to have something like that as a knocking around instead of having to go through airport security.
Well, when you finally win Powerball and after you give me my 15%, go for it.
Yeah. No, I'll take the NetJets or the XL Jets and just buy like a 1% share and say, you know,
fly me to the moon. Anyway, and news that is to the surprise of no one. While we've seen with WWE programming that it's kind of unbranded, at the starting with the programs, they no longer brand a wrestler to whatever show he's on. But apparently WWE, as of May 31st, will no longer have anything that even relates to a brand split. Well, I have my response to that.
Well, duh.
You know, I'm a fan. I was a fan of the brand split, and I still believe in it. I still think it's a great idea. I know why they're ending it. Because
where did you hear this? I mean, per se.
Well, let me get my link on it real quick.
Please, because it's interesting.
I just think, you know, I'm just surprised that it's actually being announced. So maybe. Let's see if I can find it again. Where did it go? Okay. PWI.
Okay.
And I will read this to you, and I quote, "The brand extension, which has really been dead for some time, officially ends on May 31st. From this point on, WWE will advertise all events as simply WWE Live, as opposed to Raw and SmackDown. For whatever reason, the SmackDown brand was never really able to have the same staying power on the road as the Raw side, so it makes sense to just brand it all WWE. It'll be interesting to see how much they mix the roster of the house shows up going forward, as even though they pretty much all of the major stars are all on all TV shows, the house shows are still split."
Interesting, because what that reminds me of was the old 80s A-Team and B-Team shows.
And that's, you know, that was something that, you know, that I thought was, you know, really good for budget, where they could, you know, say, okay, we have this many wrestlers working Saturday to Monday, or another group that worked Saturday to Tuesday, and you had enough guys that you could spread them out and people wouldn't be disappointed. Unfortunately, Tom, the problem is the wrestling fan base is full of a lot of number threes who will complain because wrestler A didn't show up on their show.
Indeed. Well, to them, you know what? Get over it.
And Tyler, it's strange that they're making this a formal announcement now when it feels like there really hasn't been any actual brand definition for at least a year and a half.
Well, exactly, because you've got both champions from Raw and SmackDown appearing on the same show, so it's like, well, what's the point of having the brand separation and the different championships other than to give more people an opportunity to wear gold around themselves?
And I find this even more interesting, Jason, because WWE.com actually posted a poll about the draft, which got overwhelming yeses from the fan base at large that yes, they want to see another draft.
Well, it's very interesting. What I think they're doing is they're separating the TV show from the live events. You know, mm-hmm. In other words, Raw and SmackDown have their own separate identities, I believe, mm-hmm. from a television perspective, not necessarily from a championship perspective. But, well, let me just, because I want to complete a thought then, okay?
That'd be a first, sorry.
Ha 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 ha, because I have so many things on my mind here. If the brand split is done from a live event perspective, and no,
English,
I haven't been
sir.
English, yes, and I haven't even been drinking. That's tomorrow. What I'm asking is, do you think they'll ever unify the belts?
Given how much content they have to generate, no. Given how much content they're going to have to generate going forward, the fact that they want to add a half an hour to Raw with this pre-show nonsense, the fact that NXT is going to come to television and to sell it, they're going to have to bring some established people over there to get eyeballs to turn that way. Because, yes, there's already a strong fan base that watches it on the interwebs, including one of our panelists. But I miss, you know, I miss the fact that there was specificity. That's not a word. That the brands were distinct, specific. Raw was the entertainment. SmackDown was the sport. And then they had more time to build up their pay-per-view storylines. And when one brand had a pay-per-view, the other brand would have what I call free-per-view. They would have a show that always felt like it stepped up a notch because they knew that their quote-unquote competition had a pay-per-view. So they're like, we got to do better than that. And we'll do it for free. And we'll hook them so that we can charge them $30 for a pay-per-view. Personally, Tom, I miss the brand split, and you know, condemn me all you wish.
I'm not going to condemn you because I miss the brand split too. I thought it was a pretty good idea.
Tyler, your thoughts of the brand split?
It was a good idea to begin with. It was cool to see, like, you know, the general managers fighting and that sort of thing. But once it got to a point where you couldn't keep up with who was on which show, it sort of lost its purpose a long time ago.
I think that down the line that it, you know, they may divide it up again, but right now it's just a matter of we've got to fill all this time. And Jason, filling all this time requires as many people and belts as possible.
Yes, like a Cassius Ohno, like a Sami Zayn, Hello, Sammy. We miss you. And all the people that they're signing. And all the people that they're building up in NXT. Not NFCW, correct?
No, NXT. NXT is pretty much FCW.
Yes, but I'm talking all those people.
Yeah, you know? They're building. They're, you know, they've brought in some established guys to keep, you know, to get to spruce up NXT. They've got a handful of guys that they've trained. We're going to start seeing some of these guys get called up, and that will add the content and start maybe bridging that gap that I mentioned between the A card and the B card. And finally getting us some new stars, because Cena ain't getting any younger.
He's 36.
Exactly. Punk ain't getting any younger. You know, a lot of the top talent ain't getting any younger. But WWE knows that they have to get younger. And I don't mean Drake, although I would love to see them sign him too. Five people will get that joke. But WWE has got to start thinking younger and start thinking we got to get these people pushed. The good news is that, you know, Ryback is somebody that they're looking at to go into the main event status. And he's only 30. I thought he was older. So some point, yeah, Ryback's going to be the man. It could be as soon as Extreme Rules. I can dream.
I hope so. I really do. So, I mean, you got guys again. You got Bo Dallas, Biggie Langston, Cassius Ohno, Richie Steamboat.
Yes. Right? Who needs to get back on TV ASAP.
Xavier Woods, and look at the females you've got. You've got at least 6 to 8 females and 12 females down there.
Right.
Emma Summer Rae, who is now the dancer to Fandango.
Yes. It's a living.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt on the bubble. They might be bringing him up. Everybody, I haven't heard a bad word yet about Paige when it comes to the NXT Divas division. So, you know, they've got people that are ready, but they need to, you know, we just need to give them a reason. Because thank God for the doc putting in, we're not going to put you on TV until we know what we're going to do with you when you get there. So, this is an interesting time for WWE. And just so that I'm not showing any bias, I will say this real quick. TNA finally got Chris Sabin back on TV, and he demanded that he not be in the X Division anymore. He wanted to be a world champion. 20 minutes later, he's in an X Division qualifier match.
Yes, that's not why it had its lowest audience of the year, but still.
Well, just, you know, just saying. So before we call it a show, Tom, do you have anything to promote? I think he's chasing the guys that stole his box. Tyler, do you have anything to promote?
Not that I know of. I might start things back up again, but at this point with two jobs, it's all up in the air right now.
Jason, do you have anything to promote?
I have a ton, actually.
Give him room.
Well, first of all, I want to talk about something that I did that was actually celebrated on Monday Night's Raw, which I really got to promote. We all bust on John Cena for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But one of the coolest things that he did on Monday was to bring out 3 Wish kids, give them names, and make them honorary superstars. You know, you could boo Cena the character, but Cena the guy is pretty freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And if you seriously, and I'm not doing this because, you know, I'm a fan of the WWE, but I'm a fan of this particular program, and I'm a fan of the foundation because I know people who are Wish Kids, who were former Wish Kids, and, you know, I donated 14,000 airline miles. If you really want to donate them, go to www.wish.org/WWE and donate your airline miles if you can. Seriously, if you've got a few, donate 5,000. They accept a few airline programs. I think it's U.S. Airways, Delta, and United. So check those out if you have them. All right? For the CLW83 network, of course, all the shows can be found on Stitcher Radio and Stitcher.com. Hopefully, we will be recording this weekend, if I'm sober enough, on Sunday. Pixel Nation, Red State, Blue State, and of course, all the other shows, which include Touch 'Em All, which love that. Down the Tubes with Carl Schneer. And of course, BS Big Show, which we just had the season premiere of this week, which was a lot of fun, a lot of craziness. And I believe that is it. So, yes.
Okay. I don't have anything to promote because Jason stole some of my material.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. As long as Stitcher gets promoted, I'm okay. I don't have anything to promote because I'm right here, where I want to be on my show. So for Tom Delgado, wherever he may be at this moment, for Tyler Brown, and for Jason Block, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection, as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Please come back and keep listening, because we do get silly from time to time. Oh, and Pony.
JWC Media.